What's going on, my haunted house-dwelling hotties? On this episode of the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, Ghost Joe and the Natman give you 10 great haunted attractions around the world, haunted eBay, Edgegrave Dave reviews Beetlejuice, and much, much more. So let's say Natman three times and get this party started.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
So, what's going on, Nat? How you been, buddy?
Taking it all day by day, my friend.
The same as you were 10 minutes ago when we tried recording this the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, there's no movie magic here. There's no movie magic. I messed up, okay? You know, I forgot to press the little red button that said record. Luckily, we were only about...
I'm going to bust your balls about this for a long time.
Luckily, we were only about halfway through the episode, so we have to redo the whole thing all over again.
So, my beard's getting more and more gray every time we do this.
But you know what? It's okay, because we, it loosened up some of us. Yeah, sure. Okay. So... As I said, you know, that nobody had heard, we're in the spooky season now, Nat. You know, it's going to be October now. It's actually, as we're recording this, it's the end of September. So you guys should be hearing this pretty soon, too, though. And spooky season is in, you know, full effect. I got my 12-foot witch set up after cursing at it a bunch of times and wanting to throw it out in the garbage and almost getting a divorce over it. And but that's up. and ready to go, you know. So
you finally did it right.
I did do it right this time. Yes, I put it together
for the kids.
That's right. For the little one, the big one don't really give a crap, but the little one, she wanted that witch, so I did it for her. You know.
See, I'm lucky. Both of mine still like it. My big one's actually the one that puts up all the stuff.
See, my 11-year-old could care less. She's into, you know, makeup and girly things now. So,
what are you going to do?
Yep. So, I had actually recently watched this first episode of this Netflix documentary called Encounters. And it's like produced or something by Steven Spielberg. And it was pretty cool, man. You know, it's a 4-part series. Anybody can check it out. It's brand new on Netflix right now. And it goes through, like different documented cases, real live witnesses about, you know, UFO sightings. The first episode was really cool. It featured this one UFO sighting that people had seen this UFO in this town back in like 1989. And then they saw the same thing in 2008. So it's pretty crazy that they were able to.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that it was the same type of sighting. And some of the same people had actually seen it. One guy had actually said that he had seen it while he was hunting. He looked at it through his rifle scope. So he was able to see things. He didn't really say too much, though. But some of his friends seemed to think that he might have actually caught a glimpse of some alien-like creatures inside the UFO, because apparently he had described it to them as like insect-looking, you know, almost like a giant praying mantis look. So, I would say so.
I wouldn't want to meet that.
No, hell no. I mean, to be honest with you, though, like, I mean, I work at night and I'm always looking up in the sky to see if I could see something, because I would love to see a UFO. Not much the alien thing, but I would love to see a UFO, you know.
If it looked like a praying mantis, I definitely don't want to see it.
No. I definitely don't want to see that. But it looks like a pretty cool series. I only seen episode one so far. I'm going to check it out and, you know, maybe I'll give you guys a review on it when I'm all done. I told Edgegrave Dave about it, but he's more of the horror movie guy. So, this one might be on me to do this review. But speaking of UFO news, actually, I know the last couple episodes I've been talking a lot about UFO sightings in New York, but This one sighting that I'm going to talk about right now happened on August 11th of just this year. And it actually made this top 25 UFO sightings in New York list. And this list was just sightings for this year. So it just shows you how much UFO activity. Now, mind you, UFO doesn't have to be an alien. You know, it's an unidentified flying object. You don't know what it is. It could be government. It could be anything. We don't know. That's why it's an unidentified flying object, right? So,
yeah.
So this one was on August 11th in Wayne County, approximately 250 miles from New York City. A man had witnessed six triangular-shaped objects hovering over a very wooded area, and they seemed to have changed color and shape while flying in unusual patterns. This obviously is a little strange because, you know, if it's a drone, yeah, they could change colors and stuff because you could do that from the remote or whatever. I don't have a drone. I wish I did. It would be cool. But, you know, you could change colors and stuff, but I'm sure you can't change shapes of drones, you know, while it's flying. So that's pretty crazy. And the encounter actually lasted about 30 minutes, which is quite a long time. He recorded it on his phone, and I've included the link to the article that I read, which has the video in the story. So you guys could check it out in the show notes. Yeah. And if you've seen any UFO sightings or whatever, please give us a call at 845-600-0744, please. And let us know about it. So, and you know, we'll play you on the show. So yeah.
Don't be nervous. Give us a call.
Yeah. There's no judgment here, guys. You know, like we don't judge. We just judge ourselves.
Judgment free zone.
That's right. We just judge ourselves
and make fools of ourselves.
That's right. We're self-deprecating guys. We don't make fun of others.
No,
not at all. So yeah, please.
We're nice people.
That's right. And if you don't feel comfortable calling and talking on your voice, you could also email me a voice note too from your phone, or you could just email us the story at ghostshowny@gmail.com, and we'll read it on the air. And it could be anonymous if you want it to be. Just let us know, and it'll be anonymous. And yeah. All right. Ooh, I said that all in one breath, Nat. That was a lot.
Hey, that was. It came out very well too. Ooh.
Yeah. It sounds pretty good now too. Yeah. So I guess now we're gonna start this all over again. Sorry, Nat. And we're gonna talk about the 10. Haunted attractions from around the world. Now, mind you, this is not a top 10 list because we didn't really know how to rank it like that because we've never really been to many. I've only ever been to one of these places, actually. So we didn't really know.
Oh, so you were at one of them.
I was at one of them. Yeah. Cool. But I, you know, we didn't really know how to rank it like that. So we just figured we'll give you guys 10 of the best that we had found scouring the internet. And, you know, you make your own decisions. So, Nat, go ahead with the first one, sir.
All right, man. This one is the Morton Manor. Comes at from Kissimmee, Florida. It was opened 2016. It has two floors of special effects and actors. It's open all year round, and it was named one of the scariest amusements by Travel Channel itself. What I know, it is at $18 a cost. Tickets going by.
That's actually not bad, man. Yeah. Because a lot of these places have been charging. Like I was talking to one of my coworkers because she's like real into like like Halloween. It's like her favorite holiday in the world, and she likes going to all these haunted attractions and stuff. Everything went up, man. Like all these attractions are like $40, $50 to get in. A lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane. Like, well, why do that?
And even go higher than that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's kind of nice.
Everybody wants to make a buck.
I understand. And I mean, I guess they have a lot of actors and stuff to pay too. So I guess that could be a reason too, you know?
Yeah. That's also true.
So my first one that I'm going to talk about is called Evil Corp, a horror maze. And this one's in Brisbane, Australia. And the slogan is very cool. It's called pay to enter, pray to leave. I thought that was really cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
That's a very like horror movie-ish quote, you know? So you got to be at least 16 to enter with an adult, and it's family owned. It's underground, which is very cool. And it's open all year round. And you hold a torch, which I think is very cool touch that you actually have to hold your own torch while walking. And it only takes about 15 minutes to complete. It's $35 for tickets. And the end of the maze leads you into a haunted themed bar. So, you know, after getting scared, you know, have some drinks. So what's your next one, Nat?
Hallow's End, Staten Island, New York. It has three attractions, The Witch's Coven, Total Darkness, and The Freak Show. It's already opening, already opened. Actually, I think it opened today. Today's the 30th, right?
Yes, it is.
September 30th all the way to October 31st.
Nice.
Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays between 7:30 and 11 o'clock at night. It's on 75 Richmond Terrace, Staten Island, New York, 10301. I'm sorry, guys. I don't have the price for this one. It wasn't showing it when I looked for it.
Very cool. And, you know, like I said before, you know, well, it wasn't recorded, so you'll never hear it. But as I said to Nat and to no one, apparently, Staten Island is a very, you know, historical place. You know, part of the there's the conference house, which is supposedly haunted. And, you know, some of the Revolutionary War was fought there. It's a lot of, you know, there's historic Richmond Town, which a lot of things. And even part of the Declaration of Independence was even signed on Staten Island as well. Some wars were fought here too, over there as well. So there's a lot of haunted history in Staten Island, New York. So next time you call it the Forgotten Borough, just remember, you know, if you want to see some ghosts, that might be the place to be, you know.
This is the place to go.
So my next one is the JICU General Hospital. And it's in Fuji-Q, Japan, at this place. It's an amusement park called Fuji-Q Highland Amusement Park. The admission's $55 American, so it's kind of up there. But, you know, it's from when I tell you all the stuff that this thing offers, it sounds like it's worth it. So it's considered one of the largest and scariest haunted attractions in the world. It takes about a whole hour to complete. So you got a lot of stuff going on there. The groups range from 1 to 6 people. They give you a little flashlight to walk around with, and that's it. Just this tiny little mag light type thing. And there are emergency exits for people to bail if it's too scary, which I think is pretty cool. There's a lot of stairs. So if you're going to find, if you in the area and you're going to do that, there are a lot of stairs. So just mind that. And again, The Japanese people are super hardcore, man. And it says here that elementary school aged children have to be accompanied by a junior high school student or older, not like an adult, but just a junior high school student. So yeah, they're all into their horror stuff. I mean, you could tell that definitely by their,
some hardcore shit.
Yeah, man. You could definitely tell that by their horror movies as well. So yeah. So that's the JICU General Hospital. So what do you got next, Nat?
Netherworld, Stone Mountain, Georgia. It is 4 attractions, starting from The Haunts, Escape Room, Monster Museum, and Wake the Dead. Prices go from as little as $25 all the way up to $75. This place opens September 20th and goes all the way to November 19th, which... it's pretty cool that it goes past Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. And so some of these places also that we're talking about, I mean, we're going to tell you also, but some of these places that we're talking about also have all year round stuff too, which is awesome. So this next one I'm going to talk about is the Berlin Dungeon in Berlin, Germany. It's 360 degree sets with a lot of storytellers. If you check out their website, it's pretty awesome. Like some of the visuals and stuff on there are pretty cool. There's 10 interactive shows. They have underground rides. And some of the attractions sound terrifying to me. The Elevator of Doom, The Torture Chamber, Plague Street, Curse of the Witch, The Drop Ride, which sounds really terrifying to me. Yeah. And Escape Through Secret Tunnels. And it's only actually, and all that, and it's only $11 American. It's a 950 euro. So yeah, so that's an awesome deal, I think.
It is. That's actually pretty cool.
So yeah. So what do you got next, Nat?
All right, now we're gonna go up to Canada. The Scarehouse Windsor. It is actually in Ontario, Canada. It is actually not only an attraction for Halloween, it also does paranormal investigations because the place itself is supposedly haunted. The attractions are the Scared Evil, Ward 13, and the Mirror Maze. Plus, there is also a bar and place to eat, which is actually called the Bar and Kill. Prices go from $35 all the way up to $100. It opened all year round for the paranormal investigation. And just during Halloween, it stops the paranormal investigation and just does the Halloween attractions.
Very cool. Very cool. Nat and I had actually went to Canada on a cruise, and it's actually twice, right? Yeah, didn't we go to Canada twice? Yeah. We did.
Actually, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Was it?
No, probably.
It was two times. Yeah. That was a fun time. Canadians are super nice. And actually, we did an interview with Bill Van Vagel, Butcher Bill, from Land of the Creeps podcast. That's going to be coming out soon too. It's an awesome interview. Yes, yes. Myself, Nat, and Edgegrave Dave and Butcher Bill all talking about horror movies. And it's going to take me forever to edit it, but I promise it's going to be out. It's awesome. Bill's a great guy. Please check out Land of the Creeps podcast as well, because they have a lot of great stuff going on there.
Might take a while to edit it, but it'll be definitely worth the wait, guys.
So the next one I'm going to talk about, I'm kind of done with the rest of the world, and I'm going to stay with America right now. It's the Reign of Terror in Thousand Oaks, California. The admission's $42. It's 32,000 acres of scares, they say. And it's 142 custom rooms with 11 different themes. And some of the attractions are Unhallowed Ground, Forest of Fear, The Asylum, The Haunted House, Infected, and The Fun House. So that sounds like a good time too. And 32,000 acres is quite a large space there for a haunted place. So that's pretty cool. So what do you got? What do you got, Nat? What's the next one?
I'm taking us all the way to Italy now. You might be done with the outer world, but I'm not. I got an Italian tour in Venice. It's called The Dark Side of Venice. It's a tour done for about an hour and 30 minutes. I can't get the price for it yet. I attempted it. I just couldn't find anything to show me prices for this. All I know is that it gives you a tour of the area with the tour guide where he tells you different stories of ghost stories, and I heard that it was actually supposed to be very enjoyable and definitely worth the money. I don't know, like I said, much about it. This is all I was able to get. It was an hour and 30 minutes, and it does it during the night, and that's it. I was really able to get from
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
Sorry, guys.
No, that's great. And the fact that it's, I mean, we covered a lot of countries, man. So I think, you know, I think that's pretty good, especially Italy. That's awesome that they have something going on. Because at first,
yeah, I just wish I was able to get more information about it. Just for some reason, it was a small little paragraph on it. I couldn't even find any type of pricing for it or nothing. But it does happen at night. You go with a tour guide. He walks around the area, giving you different stories about things that happened in that area that are supposedly chill you to the bone.
You know, and it's funny too, because when we first started talking about doing this segment, we were like, well, I mean, do other countries even celebrate Halloween? Like, are we going to find other haunted attractions? And there were quite a few, you know, in a lot of different places. Yeah, so I think that's definitely pretty awesome that, you know, the whole world kind of shares in the spooky season type stuff. So I think that's pretty cool. So the last main one that I'm going to talk about right now is the one that I've actually been to. And it's called Halloween Nights in Eastern State Penitentiary. It's 2027 Fairmount Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it's a legit, real you know, haunted penitentiary. It's a 10-acre prison. They do have ghost tours and you could do paranormal investigations throughout the year other than Halloween when they do their Halloween scare thing. It's $40 admission. And what I think is pretty cool that's different is that at the beginning of the attraction, you can opt to take a glow necklace, which lets the actors know if you have this glow necklace on, they can touch or grab you, take you through secret passageways, and separate you from your group temporarily. So it's like a real scare thing. Oh, I think that's pretty awesome, though, that like...
Did you do that, Joe?
Huh? What's that?
Did you do that?
Yeah. Well, did I do that?
Did you do
did
that?
Did I do that? I don't think I did.
With
I don't
think
I took the necklace. I don't think I did.
Oh.
Not that I was scared. Yo. I was with my group and I didn't want to get separated. That's all. That's all. I wasn't scared.
Yeah, sure.
I don't like people touching me, you know?
Just from the CEO.
But no, it was awesome, job, though. CEO. I mean, it was definitely a cool time. I went with a couple neighbors and what was funny too was that one of the neighbor's wives was walking in front of me and I was kind of behind everybody. And I saw one of the actors coming out, like, and he was trying to scare me. So I said, no, go in front of me, go in front of me. So he put his hand on her shoulder and she turned around and the scream that she let out was worth the $39 any day of the week. That was awesome.
That's
and,
cool.
Yeah. And, what's it called? So, oh, and the best part about this place is that it's not too far. It's probably like maybe a 15, 20 minute drive to Pat's King of Steaks and Gino's Steaks, which are the two best Philly cheesesteak places like ever. And they're like right next door to each other or right across the street from each other. And yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, come on, man. You know, scares. Absolutely. You can't go to Philly and not get a Philly cheesesteak. That's unheard of. So that's our 10. That's our top 10. But I did want to do an honorable mention because this place is run by a friend of ours named Rick Risp. Been dealing with this guy for a very long time. He used to, you know,
put, shout out to Rick.
Yeah. Shout out to Rick. He used to put on great shows at a place in Staten Island called The Caves. And he never did The Wave, I don't think. But he did The Caves and he did some other places. And he was just an awesome guy. And he does this haunted thing at the Kreischer Mansion, which if you've listened to the shows, you've heard me talk about the Kreischer Mansion before. That place is super haunted. I've had my own experiences from that place. So this is called Slaughterhouse NYC. It's on Arthur Kill Road in Staten Island at the Kreischer Mansion. $35 admission, totally worth it. And it has a haunted maze, a haunted hayride, a haunted school bus, which is different. And of course the haunted mansion. You go through the actual Kreischer Mansion, which is very, very cool. And a haunted asylum as well. Just so you guys know, this is actually going to be the last year that Slaughterhouse NYC is going to be in the Kreischer Mansion. So if you guys, if you guys want to go, you got to go this year. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to see it in this place. And you're going to want to go into the Kreischer Mansion. It's super creepy. It's been on different shows on the Travel Channel about its haunting and stuff like that. And I believe Rick has been on some talk shows talking about it as well. I'll get him on again. He was on one of our shows. I did an interview with him a couple of years ago, but I think it's about time. Like I have him on again and he could tell us a little bit more about some of the stuff that he experienced there. Cause he's stayed in there. He's actually the manager and the caretaker of the place. So he actually sleeps in that place every night. So. You know, so he's seen and experienced a lot of stuff over there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So now that we've been talking for about 20 or so minutes. You guys are probably super tired of hearing our voices. So now we're going to go to some horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave, where he reviews the new Beetlejuice Beetlejuice.
Horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Though I might have said that name three times, after 36 years, we actually get a title that has his name twice because I finally saw it. We're here to talk about the 36-year gap sequel of Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, otherwise known as Beetlejuice 2. So it's time to take out that chalk and draw up a grave warning. Spoiler alert, because we're going to get right into it. Oh, man. What a time for movies. We've had some interesting legacy sequels over the past couple of years. Ghostbusters and Top Gun and Cobra Kai. That's a sequel itself in that series to The Karate Kid. Are they all good? Are they all worth it? Well, while people have a lot of different feelings on it, I think they're all absolutely awesome. If you have a good cast, a good story, the ambition and the passion to do it, to give back and justify it, oh man, we can span some generations. So let's go, 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 go! Now, with as much enthusiasm as I have for this review, I just have to say, hearing about it for so many years from the early 90s to 2019, I have to say, I did have my reservations about it. When it comes to any legacy sequel coming out, I always try to hold the bar a little bit low, even though that my childhood self is like, I can't wait to see this. Because if you start out really high, you might get disappointed. And hey, the ground only goes up from here. You're always going to get the fans that want to compare it to the original content in the original film. No matter what they do, they're going to say, hey, man, this isn't as good as the original movie. That was good, but I'm just going to watch the other one. You know, then you have people that are a bit more open-minded about it. Then you have people that, and one of the things that I love about this, I was talking about spanning generations. Then you've got people that have no idea what they're about to see. And that's how we all felt when we saw the original Beetlejuice. So Tim Burton coming back to this, if I'm correct about this, I believe this is the only actual sequel that he's made. I mean, as much as it would have been interesting to have A Nightmare Before Christmas 2, and I know people are clamoring for it, he's never made a second Sleepy Hollow film, another Edward Scissorhands movie. I mean, all right, let's talk about the Batman movies. Yes, Batman Returns is a sequel, but it's a little bit different when it comes to Beetlejuice. You had a story, and again, another spoiler alert, about a couple that in that movie that they discovered that they're dead and they sort of have to feel their way about what they're going to do about it. And there's new people that are moving into their house. How am I going to get them out? And then they conjure Beetlejuice. In this movie, there is just so much going on. I mean, the action almost never stops. And the dialogue between all the characters, I just thought that everything was so carefully written. I just really enjoyed the dialogue. Let's not even talk about special effects or about Michael Keaton for the moment. And boy, are we going to get to him. I just really felt that how they went about it with all of the subplots. You know, so many people have been in my ear telling me what they have thought about it that, you know, I just went online. I was really, really curious. It's not something that I typically do before doing any review. But there are so many stories about so many convoluted plots. It's really busy. You know, what's going to happen here? And it really works very, very well. And again, the most interesting part about this, here's some trivia for you guys. Beetlejuice was only in the original movie for 15 minutes. He's in this movie for 17 minutes. And no, you don't get cheated whatsoever. Just remember, Freddy Krueger was not in the original Nightmare on Elm Street movie for all that long. You know, the sparing amount of time that these characters are in these movies really works to your benefit. You appreciate them a little bit more, and they add so much impact to the story. And Michael Keaton's performance in this movie was just solid gold. It's like time had never passed since 1988. And for a 73-year-old dude, he looks incredible in the makeup. That part, I mean, they just nailed it. And I loved how the kind of the stop motion claymation that they did in the original, especially for the sandworm. Well, not only do you see that sandworm, but even though that it's CGI and computer technology, it really holds true to the look of the movie. I really love all of the cast of characters that they had selected. Starting here with Winona Ryder, I just have to say she so easily went back into the role as Lydia. I love catching up with her as an adult, and now she's doing this kind of like haunted house show where she's still using her abilities, and you get to see her now older. And then there's a stark contrast to Jenna Ortega's character, Astrid, where they've had a separation and she's completely different. And I think that a lot of people were going to be worried, is it going to be like another Wednesday type of a thing? Where, no, not at all. She's so completely normal and different from Winona Ryder's sort of goth girl. And another great thing, Winona Ryder, she told the Duffer Brothers when she first got the role to Stranger Things, I'm just going to need the time off if a Beetlejuice sequel does take place. And they sure did. Now, Catherine O'Hara, okay, as Delia, she's always been one of my favorite characters in the original. She was so stark crazy and insane. I mean, it was just, I just couldn't believe what she was going to say next. And they dealt with the death of Charles Dietz very, very carefully, based on some things that happened behind the scenes with the actor. I love how they use stop motion to show what happened with his character. It's like basically like Jaws came up and just like took care of him, but he's still in the afterlife and you still get to see him, you know? But Catherine O'Hara, I mean, they had some really dark scenes in this movie. It's unbelievable. How you can take something dark and then just make it funny and kind of twist it. That really does go back to Beetlejuice 1 for me. The afterlife itself, I am so happy that they expanded on that. That was always something that was so fascinating how Tim Burton handled that. Basically, however it is that you die is what you're going to look like in the afterlife, and you get to see a little bit more of it, like the Soul Train, and you just kind of get to see a little bit more of how the handbook for the recently deceased can be used. What really, really got me, and I have to thank Jenna Ortega for her performance, talking about Jeremy. Huge, huge spoiler alert, all right? Spoiled so much already. You find out that when he is a ghost and he wants to trade lives with her, that was unbelievable. Now let's talk about Beetlejuice's ex-wife, who we found out is a soul sucker. And you get to see a little bit of Beetlejuice's backstory. The only thing that I have to say, I know she made such a huge rumble and impact in the beginning. And with Danny DeVito, that was just great. You know, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of her. Maybe that's what people were talking about, how there's a lot of subplots and she's looking for Beetlejuice. And then there's Willem Dafoe. Oh, man. The way that he was an actor, died, and now it's kind of like the detective with a bunch of rent-a-cops. I mean, it all just, to me, worked really, really well. And there was even a little bit of, I can't really call it gore, but they did get a little bit creepier and even a little bit of blood with that baby Beetlejuice. I mean, they were definitely right to make it a PG-13 rating. I mean, back then, and I may have said this before, PG was very different because you had movies like Back to the Future and Gremlins and even Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom that created that PG-13. You didn't have it back then, but they really pushed the envelope for it. So I really, truly think that you all enjoy this movie. It was a very good watch. The acting was just excellent. I really like the story. If you go online, you'll see all the different versions of stories that they were thinking about doing. And I really think that this was the best version that they could have made. And it definitely leaves it open for a sequel. Will it be called Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice? Well, as Tim Burton said, it took about 35 years to make this one. So I don't think that they're going to wait another 35 years to make another one if they do. And if they don't, even with that trick ending, I really think that we have something really solid here. So this has been a great start to the spooky season at the time of this recording. And I am very happy that Tim Burton does carefully select the movies that he makes. I think that we all knew that the Batman films were going to be a franchise, which is why there was a second one. But all of his other standalone movies never really had them. And if it's going to be this good, I rate this one about a 4 out of 5. I think this one really good. Is it perfect? Well, very few things are, but in my mind, it was just an excellent experience. So go and enjoy it. It's really racking in some serious cash at the movie theater. And that is my viewing experience of choice. So catch you next time. And all right, back to you, Ghost Joe.
Thanks again, Edgegrave Dave, for that awesome review of Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. I actually got to see the movie. It was pretty funny.
I'm so jealous of the both
of
you.
It was a good time.
So jealous.
It was a good time, man. It was very, very nostalgic, if anything. You know, it has been getting a little bit of flack, and I don't see it, man. I don't see why it would be getting so much flack, because it was really cool.
Really? I didn't hear a single bad thing about this.
Yeah, I heard a couple bad things about it, you know, but...
You're always going to have somebody.
Jenna Ortega's... Yeah, of course. Jenna Ortega's awesome in it. You know, Michael Keaton, everybody in that movie was spot on. It was really, really good. So, So now we're actually going to talk about, Nat, is now this it's considered a haunted attraction, but not really, man. Like this is actually more of like a torture house, but it's a real torture house.
Oh, yes.
Right. It's called the McCamey Manor. And yeah, it has actually a couple of locations. It used to be in San Diego, but the people of San Diego shut it down because of how violent it actually is. But they have two locations, one in Tennessee and one in Huntsville, Alabama, that opened up in 2017. So check this out, Nat. So you have to sign a 40-page waiver. You have to get a physical.
Damn.
A drug test. And you have to have health insurance in order to go through. Like these are the requirements to go through. You have to have health insurance, physical, a drug test. I mean, and you have to sign this 40-page waiver that pretty much allows them to do whatever the hell they want. And this place has become so huge. I'm sure that the admission is so silly. And I'm sure the guy is kicking himself now because he could have been making a hell of a lot more money if he was charging people. But the cost of admission is a bag of dog food.
Okay. A bag of dog food.
Yeah. Imagine. Yeah. I mean, the attraction, check this out. The attractions last for 8 to 10 hours. And you're experiencing physical and psychological torture. No one has ever completed it yet. And if you do complete it, you win $20,000. But for each time a task cannot be completed, you lose $500. $500 is deducted from the prize. And if you curse, $500 is deducted as well.
What? Really?
So I'd be out of there like right away.
Yeah.
I look at the place like,
potty mouth in the wind.
F. You know, like, nope. Nope, not doing this, you know, but there used to be no way out of the torture. Like there used to be nothing, but now they actually have safe words, mm-hmm. That if you say the safe words, but some people have reported that even though that they've been saying the safe words, the actors or the staff act like they don't hear them saying the safe words, and they continue with this torture stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if you really consider so it's pretty crazy. House.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's more of like a torture house.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the dog food. It's
crazy. You know, some tasks are highlighted in the waiver state that you may be waterboarded, tattooed. You might get your teeth extracted without Novocaine, or your fingernails removed.
Oh, damn.
Some people have reported having to eat raw meat and then like eating their own vomit after. They've been, you know, put in small spaces with water hitting them the whole time. It's like some serious torture stuff, man. It was featured extensively in this 2017 documentary film called Haunters, The Art of the Scare, and on the Netflix original series called Dark Tourist. It's the subject of a 2023 Hulu documentary called Monster Inside, America's Most Extreme Haunted House. It really isn't an extreme haunted house. I mean, this is torture house, you know?
You're not getting scared. You're basically getting tortured.
But check this out. There is there's a waiting list of 24,000 sickos. I mean people that want to get tortured. 24,000, Nat. All right, 24,000 people want to endure some of the worst torture anyone has ever done. Somebody actually did get very, very close to winning. It was a 15-year career Marine named Russell J. He almost lasted the entire time. He was beaten up, choked, forced to eat nasty stuff, submerged in freezing water, and locked in very, very small spaces. He was only 3 hours shy of completing the manor, but they deemed him unfit due to getting hypothermia. And they had to, you know, call it quits. To be honest with you, a lot of people are thinking that this guy might actually not have the $20,000 prize. So he does whatever he could to stop people from actually, yeah.
Well, think about this for a minute.
Because if you...
He's not charging anybody. Where is he going to get $25,000 to give everybody?
Right. Yeah. I mean that. And then, you know, the other thing too is that this guy, there's actually a whole video of this Marine on YouTube, his whole ordeal. So you could actually see all the stuff that he went through.
Joe, maybe you should put that in the
towards
link.
The end there. Yeah, no, I definitely will. Okay. yeah, I'll definitely put that in the show notes. Now, mind you, like I said, you know, they had to stop it due to hypothermia. There's a point in the video where, yeah, you could definitely tell he has hypothermia. He's shivering, he's shaking, you know, he's in bad shape. But then after a little while, they show him and he's like, no. He goes, I'm ready to go. Let's keep this going. I'm winning that money. You know, he's like, I'm good. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get through this. Like, he was this Marine was freaking tough, man.
And they decided he was.
Yes. And that's why a lot of people are saying this guy is full of crap. He probably doesn't have the 20 grand to give to people.
Yeah.
Because he looked fine. He wasn't shivering anymore. The color in his face came back. You know, so he looked okay at this point, you know, and they were like, no, due to you having hypothermia and this and that, you know, we can't allow you to continue. I feel a
scam coming on.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, this guy had actually, Russ McCamey is actually, he's probably not in jail right now, but he actually just recently got arrested last month for I guess, domestic abuse of his girlfriend or wife. So he doesn't like to just beat up on strangers. So yeah, so I'm definitely going to post the video of the Marine up on YouTube, because it's amazing what this dude endured, and you know, you got to give him props for going through all that torture, and still wanting to do it. What a tough dude, man.
This is Haunted eBay. Happy bidding, kiddies.
Let's go with some haunted eBay. So the first item is haunted leather military pouch, and it's active World War II spirit. It's only 99 cents. The person's only asking 99 cents. So to me, that actually adds to the authenticity of it. I believe somebody's only charging a dollar to get rid of it, you know? So this is an antique, this is the description. This is an antique military leather pouch. I believe it's from World War II era. It has an old smell to it as well. I got this at an estate sale in Maine. The story behind this item is that it belonged to a World War II vet that died in battle. The pouch, along with many of his other possessions, were returned to the family. It was sold to the person who was running the estate sale. The woman running the estate sale said that the pouch is bloody haunted and that if I wanted to purchase it, that I needed to be informed of this. She told me that she had the pouch in a display case, not for very long, that contained old war memorabilia that her husband had collected. She said she ended up having to put it in her garage because of the disruptive activity that occurred within about 2 to 3 days of purchasing this item. The activity is very blatant. The spirit has no problem making his presence known. You'll hear loud footsteps throughout the day and a bit more at night. He also likes to knock. It's not your average knock. It sounds like it's some type of code. I do believe he may have been a cigarette smoker. So if you smoke, chances are that he will take a cigarette or two from you when you're not aware or awake. That's interesting. At least leave a dollar. You will also smell the scent of bay rum aftershave throughout the air. It says here, I have experienced a bit of activity from this myself. Shortly after I purchased it, I heard footsteps that sounded more like marching. And the knocking did come late at night around 2 to 3 a.m. It did get a bit loud and disruptive, and my senses told me that he just wanted some acknowledgement. So I said out loud, "Thank you for your service, sir. I really appreciate it. After I said that, he toned the disruptive, noisy activity down a bit, but seems more active during the day. He still does like to knock and continues the marching footsteps, but not as aggressively. I do smell the bay rum aftershave quite a bit as well. And then it says here, the energy on this item is very active. So if you're new to this, make sure that you're ready. If you have any questions, feel free to message the person." So yeah, I mean, that to me, that sounds kind of legit, man, especially if somebody's only selling it for 99 cents.
Wow. This is the first time I ever heard one.
It doesn't sound too outlandish to me.
It's worth just to get it anyway.
Right. Just to see if, I mean, and it's not like it's crazy, like unruly stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. You could buy it and just see if it, you know, if those things happen, you know, and if it truly is a World War II veteran, you know, he's a soldier, you know, so.
Definitely. And shit, you're not really losing out much money. It's just a buck.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely. So the last, I only have two this week because these are kind of long. The second one that I have is Haunted Doll. Active demon sexual succubus shapeshifter. Its item is a pink parasite pika located in the Boogie Down Bronx, New York. It's $24.89 and it's a $4 shipping. It says here, it is recommended you have some knowledge with this. Be careful, 100% authentic. The name is Pika. And here's the description. Meet Pika. She's crazy and wild, super unpredictable, a cute vessel from the underworld, ready to serve you and possess you. She is using. This is where kind of. I mean, you know, we're all inclusive over here, okay? But you know, she is using his supernatural abilities to appear harmless and neutral. I don't know where they get Elvira from, but it says Elvira is clever and sinister. I don't know where that came from in the whole thing. She loves to giggle when you fondle her. Ooh, hey now. She loves all positions, especially hopping on top of you. She is really special and will change her form and shape to reflect what she feels you are lusting for, to gain sexual activity from you and otherworldly spirits. She will change into a gorgeous female wearing all pink with green hair, so you pay attention. Be careful and do not let her consume you, for you are its master. And when it's really hard for me to read this, when she changes into this,
I wonder why,
wild female succubus, she needs to be shown some sort of control. I probably should have read this because I don't know what else is here. The demon in her wants all of your fluids. She loves drowning in stuff and wants you to in her mouth. She loves hopping around from body to body. She loves bitter taste of sunflower seeds and loves the smell of cotton candy. She is for you. So pet her if you want the spirit to give it back to you. You will have nightmares of blood and stuff everywhere. She likes to eat a little before sexual activity for energy. So eat some snacks in front of her to get to her, to get her going. Wow. Okay. And then it switches back to he. He always wants to have fun, some affection, and she wants you. Just make sure you know how to handle this crazy spirit in bed, because he will make you think you're in a whole other realm. Oh, by the way, she will ignore children and will not harm animals. So, you know, she might be a crazy minx in bed, but, you know, at least
what is it actually supposed to be?
It's a doll. It's a demon doll.
Of a what?
It was like this weird looking thing. It's not like a real doll looking thing, but, yeah, it was a little strange. So yeah, it says this vessel is uncleansed, light a white candle, burn incense, and give a small present to welcome it into your home. So, I mean, if you want to have a romantic relationship with a demon, you know, weird looking stuffed doll thing, you know, go for it. You know, it's in the Bronx.
And how much was this one again?
This one is, how much did I say? $24. This is $24.89.
That's not too bad for everlasting love.
This one is, how much did I say? $24. This is $24.89.
The price you'll pay for having sex.
I mean, hey, you know, it is a demon though. So I don't know, you know, what, but it, you know, I mean, if you need some loving, I guess it's okay. You know, I mean, it's, you know, and now I'm going to get nightmares. yeah. So that's my haunted eBay for this show.
My favorite part of the show.
Yeah. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. This one is called, and now this one actually sounds like a cry for help, man. I need help. Am I being mimicked by a demon? And it says here, bear with me how long this may be. About 2 weeks ago, I've been getting stuck in my dreams. No matter how hard I try to wake up, it's nearly impossible. I mean, that's like the old hag syndrome. That's, you know, sleep paralysis, possibly, you know, like that. That might not be anything, but just sleep paralysis, which is a scientific thing. But I wake up feeling drained or like I'm waking up from anesthesia after approximately 10 to 13 hours of sleep. Damn, that's a lot of sleep. Normally, I sleep 6 to 8 hours. My dreams tend to take place from when I was younger, but in an eerie and unsettling way. Anyways, that's why my dreams have been like no matter at night or during a nap. I don't know what that meant. All right. My older sister said last week she was walking down the hall past my room. My door was open, and normally my door naturally shuts and almost closed. And she noticed out of her peripheral vision, something was walking in my room at the same pace as she was. And she originally had thought it was me, but she noticed it was looking at her as if it's trying to figure out how to walk properly. And she also noticed it looked like me, but when I had long hair. My hair hasn't been long since 2019. She saw it twice in one day, and she says it seemed to be trying to mock how she was walking, but she ignored it and saw me in the kitchen when she told me she just saw this figure in my room. This is a mimic story, Nat. These are mimics are supposedly demons that mimic a person either by their voice or, you know, like by their looks, I guess. And they try to entice you to follow them. And, you know, like, so basically there's been stories about people like just like sitting in their house and then they hear their own voice calling them from like a different room saying, "Hey, come here. And it's not them, but it's their voice, you know, and those are mimics. So I believe there's probably some movies about it too. So yeah, sounds pretty creepy.
Well, that is actually new to me. I've never heard of this before.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me get finished here, 'cause I didn't even finish it. So it says here, now, last night I stayed at my boyfriend's house and texted my younger sister, whose room is across from mine, to make sure my bedroom door was closed shut for me. But her phone was on do not disturb. She got home and started walking down the hall to get to her room. She said she was being kind of loud with her keys banging against her hydro flask, which normally would irritate me if I'm trying to sleep. She said she heard my door open, and as she was walking near her bedroom door, she heard a whisper say, "What are you doing?" And obviously she assumed it was me being irritated that she was being loud. And so she looked up, moving her hair out of her face that prevented her from seeing my bedroom door in the first place. And that's when she realized my door was open, but no one was there. She hurried to the bathroom and opened her texts. And that's when she saw 20 minutes prior, I had just asked her to close my door because I wasn't home. She was super freaked out and we began FaceTiming. My boyfriend was making jokes about it and I told him to stop because I didn't want him to mock whatever it was. Soon after that, the FaceTime call ended. I told my boyfriend that her phone probably died, but right after she texted me saying, "Did your phone die?" And I told her, "No, I thought your phone died." There wasn't a call failed pop-up or anything like that on either one of our screens. It was as if something hung it up. The energy in my room has been unsettling, like something is watching me. My sleep has been abnormal than usual. And when I do wake up, something pulls me back to deep sleep. What could this be that's mocking me? And why is it trying to imitate me? I can't find anything online on what this could be. So this form is my last resort for answers. Please tell me anything you may know about this. Is it a demon or just a curious spirit? Any help is appreciated. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Right? That's pretty crazy, man. I mean, I would be...
That gives you some chills there.
Yeah, like not a lot of this ghost stuff kind of freaks me out anymore, but I think that would definitely freak me out, you know. Yeah. Something like that happening. Definitely. And this person definitely sounds sincere and that they're really reaching out for some answers and for some help. So I hope they find it, you know, because that sounds terrifying, you know. So that's about it, Nat, for this show. I hope everybody enjoyed
it. This was a fun show.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I hope everybody enjoyed it. And, you know, hopefully I'm going to get that Bill Van Vagel interview out for you guys pretty soon, hopefully. But otherwise, we'll have a new show for you pretty soon. Keep checking out all of our social media, the TikTok, YouTube, and all this stuff. If you have any paranormal experiences you'd like to share, please call 845-600-0744 and leave a voicemail. Or you could email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. So with that being said, everybody, have a great night. We'll talk to you guys soon. And that's about it.
I hope you enjoyed the episode.
Later, guys. And please, if you actually happen to check out any of those haunted attractions that we talked about, please give us a call and let us know how you liked it as well. So have a good one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe if a bunch of people give us some feedback, maybe we can make it into a top 10 and on a different episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, so enjoy spooky season, everybody, and have a good night. Later.
Good night, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warprealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warprealitypodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.